This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
They neutralize some of the mosquitoes for us and our kids and our pets. They can do the same for you. DCSPestControl.com. Going to go to the Bud Light Seltzer hotline now and visit with Ben Hartsock. He is a former Ohio State Buckeye. You can hear him on the Big Ten channel on Sirius XM at a multitude of times in a multitude of ways. Follow him on Twitter at Ben Hartsock. All right, Ben, just your overall thoughts first and foremost that we are actually going to have Big Ten football this fall.
Well, first off, I mean, what a great read for DC Scientific by you right there.
Thank you.
Cole. I mean, I don't even live in Alabama, but I'm thinking about calling just because I'm convinced that it's a good product. Good job.
Yeah, I'm what radio people refer to as a professional. And so
now, listen, I mean, we're here and it's still very fresh. And so I'm a little bit feeling like I went to my men's Bible study group this morning and I feel a little bit like the Big Ten is kind of like the prodigal son that, you know, made a decision that none of us wanted. And nonetheless, that son went off and made a bunch of bad choices. And now they've come back and I'm willing and I'm glad to welcome them back with my open arms. But I'm also a little bit like, gosh, was this really necessary? Like, what was this just, was this really, really necessary? So I'm a little bit conflicted. I feel like I'm a little bit sitting in a dirty diaper and I'm not doing anything about it, but I am happy. And so I'm going to be 100% be over this in the morning, I'm sure. But it's just, it's so much strain, pain, and suffering for mainly the athletes. This march of unknown distance has been so taxing on these guys to have to live with the uncertainty. It's so tough, but I am grateful that reasonable heads prevailed and that we got this to this point and that we're really in many ways. I mean, guys, once we get rolling by November, if things are clicking along the way they are around the rest of college sports and pro sports, the dumpster fire that this has been for the Big Ten will be just a footnote in the history books, I think.
What was your impression of the tough testing protocols and some of the numbers that each school is going to have to hit as in regards to the positivity rates?
Yeah, so I think that's something that people are reacting in real time. But if you're going to have a 21-day quarantine, if you're a positive test, that's a third of your season right there. I mean, you've got to think if Justin Fields tests positive week two, he misses a big chunk of his season. So that is huge. And I don't know what the return to play protocols will be like, but I know here in my hometown where high school athletes are dealing with some of these things. Once you get back, if you take a 3-week layoff, where I know you maybe will be working out, but there's an acclimation period that you have to go back through to get up to be able to be playing in at game speed. So that is huge. That is really, really impactful. I don't think that the realization of how big that 21-day quarantine is really sinking into the general masses yet.
Ben, when you think about opt-outs that we've had, the high-profile guys, not only from across the country, but specifically there in the Big Ten, a couple there at Ohio State, we know Penn State, Minnesota, the list goes on and on. Who do you think, as far as from a just on the field aspect, is affected the most as far as missing that talent this season in the Big Ten?
Well, Rashad Bateman is the wide receiver for Minnesota. Minnesota was the belle of the ball last year in the Big Ten West, and they've got a returning quarterback in Tanner Morgan and a lot of optimism, strong running back returning and a proven quarterback. So losing Rashad Bateman, who was, many say, is one of the best wide receivers coming out of this class is disappointing. And he made his decision before the Big Ten even canceled. So there's no very little likelihood that he would reverse course. But then on the other side of the Big Ten, on the Big Ten East, Penn State, Pat Freiermuth was the tight end for Penn State that there were some rumors and speculation that he was opting out. He just went onto the Big Ten Network today, kind of photobombed James Franklin during his interview with Dave Redson on the Big Ten Network, saying, listen, I don't know where these reports of me opting out came from. I'm here, ready to roll. Off we go. So that's a big win for the Penn State Nittany Lions. But James Franklin did allude to the other major name that opted out at Penn State was Micah Parsons. And James Franklin didn't say it specifically, but he said his decision is a little more final, not looking like he's going to make the decision to opt back in. And really the biggest factor for opting back in is whether or not these guys have either withdrawn from school or they've signed with an agent giving up their eligibility or taken impermissible benefits. So that's where these guys that have made recent decisions, the Wyatt Davis, the great offensive lineman for Ohio State, Sean Wade, the cornerback for Ohio State, it seems as though those guys potentially have not signed any paperwork or withdrawn from school, so there is the likelihood that they'll come back and play this season for Ohio State.
I mean, I don't know about you, Ben, but that changes my thought process, my mind about Ohio State significantly. I know no team, based on one player, especially that's not a quarterback, is going to mean the difference between 3-4 wins, but Wyatt Davis is massive, and with all the other losses on that defense, getting Sean Wade back would be massive. How different would you view the Buckeyes with those two and without those two?
Well, yeah, what they bring to the table is exponentially. Those are two guys that raise the not just the performance of them individually, if the person that they would be replacing, but also their collective units. That secondary with Sean Wade back there will be better because he's there. That offensive line will be better because Wyatt Davis is a part of that. So. And on top of that, we mentioned this earlier, with the realities of if there is a positive test, you have two more guys in your pool, and these are of the highest quality caliber guys. I think it's just going to be so fascinating to see where the Big Ten is so tight up against it. No opportunities. Because of the way the schedule is going to work out, they have 9 weeks to get in 9 games. They can't trip and miss to get a full slate. Whether or not any conference will get a slate, full slate, is to be determined. But Ohio State has no room for error. The SEC has a little bit more room for error, but they've waited a couple weeks later than the Big 12 and the ACC. So really, in the race of completing a season, the ACC and the Big 12 have a market advantage because they've got 2 weeks of football ahead of them here and more opportunity and flexibility if they should trip and fall along the way.
So how many times do you think Kevin Warren has blocked the call of Larry Scott over the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think one of the interesting stories that is going to come out of this is I am thrilled with the decision that has been made that the Big Ten is allowing their athletes to go out and compete. I think it's good for the athletes, it's good for the universities, it's good for the Midwest, it's good for the country. But the inverse of this, like, people often don't look at, like, none of these decisions happen in a vacuum. And while I'm glad that we're playing football this fall, the reality is the decision that was made by the Big Ten presidents and chancellors undermines authority, like, from a global perspective of authority. The decision that was made now has set a precedent that you're already seeing manifest itself. That if you pitch enough of a fit as a student population, a fan base, players, coaches, athletic departments, parents, whatever, that precedent is now set. Because you can say the decision for the Big Ten was made only on the medical evidence. Absolutely not. They wouldn't have been forced to reconsider the evidence had the parents and protests not happened. And now, last night even, the USC and the Oregon football teams write letters to their governors respectively saying, hey, we're going to pitch a fit here too. And now the precedent is set that it worked in one conference, so why wouldn't it work for the Pac-12 conference? So I think part of the Big Ten's delay in making or announcing the decision was, okay, we're going to go ahead and play this game, but how do we minimize the fallout? Because there are other the ripple effect is that now we have less authority. We have set a precedent that we can be swayed or be forced to swayed if our member institutions and fan bases pitch big enough of a fit.
Ben, based on everything that you've heard and we saw coming out of presidents from different member institutions there in the Big Ten about not playing, not reversing course, how surprised were you when the announcement was made that you're going to get all the member institutions from that conference actually giving it a go and trying to play college football?
Yeah, I mean, you can tell that when you watch the press conference that's already being replayed on the Big Ten Network here now, Morton Shapiro, the Northwestern president, he spoke only from the perspective of Northwestern. He very purposely said, because the question was asked, what was the tipping point for you, or what were the tipping points that made the Big Ten change? And he says, for me, it was the data. It was the meetings this past weekend where the science and the daily testing and all of those things, that was the game changer. He says, but he specifically said, you'll have to ask the other 13 presidents what were their tipping points. So that, is to me, is very indicative. We're only speaking for ourselves here because, yes, it's one of these deals. We're going to vote this unanimously, but we're certainly not unanimous. I've been a part of NFLPA negotiations when I was still playing that there was very much disagreement among the group, but because of the optics of unity, they'll say it was a unanimous vote. I can't even begin to think that there was a real unanimous vote here, because by that time we got to the position we were in the first place. But in an effort to control the narrative, control the optics of this, the Big Ten absolutely needed to have a unified front when they came out with this.
So based on what you said earlier about the contact tracing, which is it's pretty steep when you put it in perspective with what everybody else is doing, what's your level of confidence that we get the majority of these games in this Big Ten schedule that's going to come out later this week?
Well, it's not just within the team itself, guys, that if there's a positivity rate above 5% for the team, that there's a shutdown for 7 days of football activity. But if there's a 7.5% positivity among the general student population, that will shut down football for 7 days. And to my understanding, there's no other universities across the country that have put that stringent of a requirement on the general student body. That, to me, is the wild card in all of this, is shared responsibility and accountability of a team is a highly motivating factor to keep guys from making wise decisions. But when you've got 30, 40, 50,000 undergraduate students across campuses in the Midwest, that to me could be a very big fly in the ointment as this thing gets rolling. So it is challenging and it's tough, but what it is it's just the opposite for the Big Ten from what their initial release was, with no details. This was a highly detailed, highly structured release of these are the protocols, these are the benchmarks we must have in place to be able for us to feel comfortable moving forward.
He is Ben Hartsock, former Ohio State player, part of a national championship team, 10-year NFL veteran as well, joining us here on Three Man Front and host there on ESPN and Sirius XM Radio. Ben, always appreciate it. Great perspective. Glad you guys are going to be playing football from a college football fan standpoint.
Appreciate it, guys. I'll be calling DC Scientific as soon as I hang up.
There you go.
Do that, Ben.
Don't fight the bite.
Ben joining us here on Three Man Front on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. Follow him on Twitter, at Ben Hartsock. I want to remind you, when you're getting ready for games this weekend, whether it be college football, the NFL, Bud Light Seltzer, an easy-drinking hard seltzer, just 2 carbs and 100 calories. Try it in strawberry, lime, mango, black cherry, or grab the variety pack.
This is Three Man Front.